international powers and Iran have extended talks into 2015 on a comprehensive nuclear deal after failing for a second time this year to seal an agreement ending the standoff over Tehran's nuclear ambitions. State media quoted Iranian President Hassan Rouhani as saying Tehran will be the eventual winner of the negotiations, which now face a June 30th deadline. Diplomats said gaps remain on key issues, including the number of centrifuges Iran would be allowed to operate, as well as the levels of uranium enrichment it can undertake. We asked analyst Gabriel Scheinman, director of policy at the Jewish Policy Center in Washington, what is next?
What is next is unclear. The stalemate that resulted in this current extension, there's very little that is going to change over the next few months that would seem to be able to break that. The Iranian negotiators representing the regime have an interest in trying to basically slow down or at least roll back some of the American and international sanctions regime. And from the American side, the United States and the P5 plus one, its European allies, are interested in trying to roll back some of the Iranian nuclear progress. But until you find some sort of Venn diagram of agreement, it's not going to go anywhere. So there really isn't much that will change over the next few months.
So what should be done to improve the situation?
Well, just like any negotiations, whether it's going into an Iranian bazaar, sort of the treasure trove of housewares in the market or something as important as this, it's a question of trying to establish leverage. The United States and the P5 plus one has enormous leverage, but it is choosing not to use it. And so the question is, can over the next few months the international community try and reestablish or reinvigorate some of the leverage? And some of that has to do on the economic side. The sanctions regime that has been put in place over the course of many years has been relaxed. And as a consequence, the Iranian economy, after being in recession for consecutive years, is growing again. So what can you do on the economic front, whether that is new sanctions or we've seen the price of oil drop dramatically over the last few months to a five-year low, whether those things will be able to put increased economic leverage on the Iranian regime to be able to want to reach an accommodation. And the second part of that is military leverage. Now, that doesn't mean going to war or doing anything of that sort, but the president and the administration has basically taken the military option off the table. And because of the nature of the negotiations, have effectively boxed in Israel and Saudi Arabia and other American allies in the region to taking their military option off the table. And that dual effect has it so that the Iranian regime can relax in such a way that it doesn't feel that its livelihood is at stake in the same way in these negotiations.
Meanwhile, Iran says it is not stopping its nuclear operations.
It's not required to. I mean, part of the interim, and by interim we're now going, but you got to July, it's a nearly two-year interim deal, but in the interim deal, the agreement reached doesn't require Iran to stop most of its nuclear program. It basically requires it to slow down some of its forward progress in some parts of it. And so even over the next 6 months, and the extension that was agreed to is basically on terms virtually identical to what's happened over the last year and a half, those added conditions weren't put in place.
This is very concerning to Israel. How long do you think they'll wait until they act unilaterally?
Well, that's the million-dollar question. I certainly wouldn't venture to try and predict the future, but the Israelis do have a long history, whether it was in Iraq in 1981 or in Syria in 2007, or covertly to try and stop or preempt nuclear programs from getting too far down the road. But even if even if the negotiations break down or there's these rolling extensions that could continue ad infinitum, my hunch is that it'll be further into the future than we think if the Israelis were to take overt unilateral military action. There's a long way to go between the Iranians being able to have a breakout capacity, i.e. the enough enriched uranium at a high enough level to be able to have the capacity to make a bomb versus having the capability to miniaturize it, develop an appropriate explosive trigger device, put it on an intercontinental ballistic missile to be able to target Israel and others. So there's a long range of possibility for when Israel might act. The question just becomes, what are the cost-benefit analysis? Are there better times in terms of international diplomacy for it to act? Are there better times from a military perspective? Are there better times from a domestic political perspective? And all those factor into play for when Israel might do something if it does something.
Gabriel Scheinman, Director of Policy at the Jewish Policy Center in Washington.